Thanks for checking out Podcasts on the Gin. The latest episode of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn starts now.
It's about trust. It's about we've looked each other in the eye. We've made an agreement. We have great confidence and faith. Our board chairs have looked each other in the eye and have committed to the same level of support and connection to one another. Our athletics directors have done that. And so if that's what it takes to get something considerable done, then, you know, we've lost our way. Of course, binding contracts serve a purpose. But at this juncture, that to us wasn't a critical element of it. And we'll certainly see where all this goes. But I know what we discussed. We all know what we discussed. And we're very confident about executing on all that's been described today.
Hour number two starting exactly like hour number one did. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Happy to have you with us. If you're listening to the podcast at KGYMradio.com right now, you're wondering, why is it starting with hour number two? Well, if you heard hour number one, you would know why. I'll leave it at that. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us at. Hour number two, the 5 o'clock hour, is drive time. It is brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. That's where you go to make your next appointment. Couple clicks of a mouse, and you can save a lot of money with Linder Tire, right on their reputation for savings and great service in Iowa City, North Liberty, or Grinnell. We've got an opportunity for you coming up in about 20 minutes to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Chicago Cubs take on the Minnesota Twins next Wednesday, September 1st, at Target Field in the Twin Cities. These are tickets only. You're responsible for your own transportation to and from the game. If you want to stay overnight, that's on you too. But we're hooking you up with four tickets to see two very popular teams in the KGYM listening area. Who amongst us would not want to go watch Brent Rooker or Rafael Ortega in person? Alex, did I just name two Cubs, two Twins, or a member of each team?
I think you named a member of each team.
Aha. See, look, nothing gets past Alex. Nothing gets past you, the listener. That is right. I'm giving you an opportunity to go and see in person Brent Rooker and Rafael Ortega next Wednesday at Target Field. Bone up on your Cubs and Twins trivia between now and the bottom of the hour. 319-366-1600. Alliance, alliance, alliance. It's like a Brady Bunch episode here. What else are we going to talk about today? I went to bed last night. Actually, I wanted to go to bed last night. And by the time that I was in bed, I made one crucial mistake. I reached over and I grabbed my phone and I checked Twitter one last time before I was going to close my eyes and drift off into dreamland. And by doing so, at the exact moment that I checked social media last night is when the news came out. Hey, news conference tomorrow. Alliance, it's on the way, and here's what to expect. And I reacted to that. I shared my thoughts on that in real time. And I was awake for 90 minutes longer than I would have liked to have been last night, interacting with people on social media, sharing my thoughts. This job, a lot of people view, and Matt Perrault, who does a great job on pushing the odds, you hear him every day on 106.3 and 107.5 FM between noon and 3 here. He does his show in Las Vegas. Matt made a point the other day on Twitter that a lot of people think that sports talk radio is a 9-to-5 gig. It is not. It is almost 24/7 because you, the listener, expect to hear from us, the hosts, the voices, on news when it happens. And when news happens at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, whenever that was last night, I decided to wade in, and wade in I did. I was awake a lot longer than I would have liked to have been last night, but we have an alliance. Question is, What does that mean? 319-366-1600. And not only what does it mean in general, but what does it mean locally here in the state of Iowa? Because part of the alliance sounds as if it is going to involve the Big Ten playing non-conference football games against Pac-12 and ACC opponents, maybe one from each conference each year. And that could affect the future of a football game that a lot of people in the state of Iowa care deeply about. I'm not talking about Iowa and Kent State.
Yeah, Todd, let's just put this out there. If, in fact, the three conferences coming together means that Iowa in the non-conference every year will face a team from the ACC and the Pac-12. I mean, it will affect another non-conference game. Will it not? As you said there, I just don't see any scenario where Iowa would play three Power Five teams in a non-conference schedule.
Now, the instant response to that last night from a lot of people were, well, chances are the Big 12 is not going to be a Power 5 conference, so problem solved. There are two issues with that. One, if the Big 12 isn't a Power 5 conference, Iowa isn't going to be keen on a home-and-home series with Iowa State, if that were to be the case. And the other problem is, I don't think the Big 12 is going to lose Power 5 status. Now, we've got to think short-term and long-term here. Short term, the terminology Power Five, I think, is going to remain in our parlance. We don't know 5 years, 10 years down the road just exactly what changes can come about from all of this. But at the moment, I think, and I'm not terribly confident when I say this, but I think that what we ultimately are going to wind up with here in terms of expansion and what a couple weeks ago I would have and did term a seismic shift in the college football landscape, barring any sort of unheard of shenanigans at this point, I think what we're going to ultimately be left with is Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. They will join sooner rather than later, by 2023 at the latest. You will see no expansion of the ACC, Big Ten, or Pac-12, and you will see the Big 12 most likely try to add, I believe, four teams into its mix to become, once again, a 12-team conference, and I think it would make a lot of sense if those teams were primarily AAC teams. I would start with Central Florida at the top of my list. I would probably have Cincinnati.
Yeah, agreed.
I would look.
Those are the top two for sure.
I would look at Houston. I would look at Memphis. If you want to try to play footsie with the Mountain Time Zone, Boise State, BYU, although BYU clings to its independence. But the time zone issue there, I'm not keen on. If I'm the Big 12, I think my ultimate path to survival is A, convincing the eight schools to remain on board. West Virginia, don't go trying to get into the ACC. Iowa State, Kansas, Big 10's not going to happen. Stick with us. Stick with the eight. We add four. We make the best of a bad situation. We maintain our autonomous power. We are a Power 5 conference. If the playoffs expand to 12, we're going to have a seat at the table. It's not ideal, but it's the best case scenario. So I think when everything is said and done, you're going to see only two of the five conferences that will have wholesale changes, the SEC and the Big 12. And I think what you see today is the remaining three conferences saying that they're joining forces. They were concerned about the instability of the college model, but also the instability of the college football landscape. I don't expect to see changes in the ACC, the Big Ten, or the Pac-12. 319-366-1600. Please convince me otherwise if you feel differently.
So George Kliakoff said today they're going to still decide whether or not they're going to add teams. It seems, you believe, Todd, that the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, even though this is a gentleman's agreement, this is not written down, this is not a contract, those conferences are going to stay where they're at, and this alliance is enough to keep them from either not the idea of losing teams, but the idea of adding teams. It's going to keep them from adding teams.
It's my gut feeling at this point, and I could be wrong on this, but I think we're past the point. There's only one conference of the Power Five conferences. If we want to force ourselves to think inside that box, there's only one Power Five conference right now where expansion makes sense and is urgently needed.
Yep.
And that's the Big 12. Does the ACC need to expand? No. Does the Big Ten need to expand? No. Does the Pac-12 need to expand? The answer is no. So if you don't need to expand, you don't, unless it absolutely makes financial sense to do so. And in all of the scenarios, it does not make financial sense to do so. Now, I know that's going to hurt a lot of feelings. It's going to upset listeners who their allegiances are with Iowa State. It's not my problem. It's the facts of life here, that it doesn't make sense. If it did, it would have happened 2 weeks ago. You would have had George Kliavkov, the commissioner of the Pac-12, when Bob Bowlsby reached out to him about an alliance between the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Okay, done. Problem solved. Whether it's a 20-team super conference or whether the alliance is with the Big 12, the Big 12 tried this and was shot down. And now is watching weeks later as its idea, an alliance with the Pac-12, is taken, and the Pac-12 runs with it, not with the Big 12, but with the other two remaining Power 5 teams, conferences in the Big 10 and the ACC. 319-366-1600. Look, the phone lines are open. The text line is open. It's a complicated situation. I thought we would get a lot more concrete details, a lot more answers than we actually did today. I think it was maybe Dan Wolkin, one of the national writers, tweeted, whose idea was this to have this news conference today? Because all three of these guys don't seem to have any idea what they're talking about. They didn't seem to have anything in writing, any prepared remarks. It was basically, yeah, this is happening and we have to talk about it, so we're going to make ourselves available. And I got to be honest, if I'm the SEC, and I'm sitting back and I'm watching the same news conference that most of us did today, which, by the way, if you saw the Zoom backdrops for the three commissioners, they were all three the same, had all three conference logos there. If I'm the SEC and I'm sitting back and I'm watching that news conference today, I'm not bothered by this one bit. You guys go ahead and do you. And we're going to continue to do what we do here, which is centralize our situation around college football. We're going to be the college football conference. We're going to bring in Oklahoma and Texas. We got our partnership, our existing partnership with ESPN. That certainly isn't going away. ESPN's going to want to be, they're going to want a big part of this new expanded SEC. They're going to want a part of the college football playoff when it expands inevitably. And what you did today, it doesn't bother us. It's not going to change the course of history. We've made our move. We brought in two name brand college football programs. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if the SEC was still putting the hardcore press on a Clemson, on a Florida State, on an Ohio State. I don't think they're going to get a response, a favorable response from schools like that. But do you trust the SEC to just say, nah, this is enough. There's a very popular children's book out there called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. And the idea behind it is if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk. And if you give the mouse the glass of milk, he's going to ask for something else, and it just never stops. So do you trust the SEC? The SEC has asked for Texas and Oklahoma. You think they're going to stop there? Do you trust them not to be pursuing anything? No. But you have three conference commissioners today who say, we don't have a written agreement. There's nothing signed, but we agree. And 41 athletic directors and presidents and chancellors agree that we're aligned in our vision of the future for college athletics, that we need to protect the college model. Alex, what this boils down to is that in the era of name, image, likeness, and the expanded college football playoff, I honestly think that one of the issues that these three conferences are very concerned about is that the SEC, essentially with the NCAA in peril, the SEC tries to basically become its own entity. And I think they're worried about the SEC essentially becoming a minor league system for the NFL. That putting some sort of name, image, like compensating players, making sure that players, if you come to an SEC school, that you have compensation through endorsement deals, and it's basically you're getting paid to play college football while you're biding your time until the NFL calls. I think that's what the three conferences today are most concerned about here, other than the money that's at stake with the college football playoff.
I think that is absolutely the case. This was done as a reaction to what the SEC has done. And I know that some people will point out that maybe the discussions took place before this. I look at where the SEC is at this point, and I look at the disjointed nature of the press conference that we saw with these three commissioners today, and it tells me that those three commissioners, including Kevin Warren, in the Big Ten, the conference right now until Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC, is generating the most TV revenue, felt the need to form an alliance without a written agreement, and kind of, I'm not going to say put their reputation on the line, but when these guys do things, when these guys say things, usually it's incredibly calculated. But with this seemed very reactionary, very knee jerk, and really didn't have a whole lot of substance, as Dan Wolkin said, and many have pointed out, it just was very disorganized. So right now, these three conferences are very worried about what the SEC is doing. And I think all of college sports outside of the SEC is worried, and they should be worried. They should be worried about the amount of money and power that has been kind of accumulated in that conference.
Now, this is beyond just a football alliance. It was said today that this will entail men's and women's basketball, that this could open the door for other sports as well. Now, we all know money is the driving factor here, and the money comes from the college football side of things. But from a basketball perspective, you've got the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You're going to see a lot more of those types of events, especially in the non-conference portion of the season, and that too is going to have a trickle-down effect on other existing deals. I'm looking at back to football here for a moment. I'm looking at Iowa's non-conference football schedules. They are in stone through 2025 at the moment. So if this were to happen, where you would have the ACC and Pac-12 non-conference games, and again, as outlined by The Athletic, one of the proposals here is that the Big Ten could go from playing 9 conference games back to playing 8, and then you add 2 of the four non-conference games would be ACC Pac-12 opponents, one from each league, which would essentially leave schools with two non-conference games every year. And that's where the Cy-Hawk series and the fate of Iowa and Iowa State comes into play because, look, the way that Iowa puts its schedule together, it's very, very formulaic. Iowa likes, and it is, has been bound to Iowa State for 40-plus years. Iowa State has been on Iowa's non-conference schedule. The last two decades with Kirk Ferentz in charge of the program, when they had four non-conference games, the best you could hope for in a given season was to have Iowa State, which is a Big 12 opponent, usually a Pac-12 or ACC opponent. Remember, Iowa has played Pitt. Iowa played Arizona State, Arizona. Those were not successful series for the Hawkeyes. But other than that,
Syracuse,
thank you. Jason Manson back on the Iowa coaching staff, a big part of that victory over the Syracuse Orange in the Carrier Dome. A Big 12 game in Iowa State, a Pac-12 ACC Power 5 opponent, and then somebody from the MAC, somebody from the Sun Belt, or somebody from the MAC, and an FCS team. UNI has been on the schedule a lot, Illinois State, North Dakota State. That's how Iowa schedules. If you tell the Big Ten that they're going to have a four-game non-conference season and that one of those games is going to be against a Pac-12 opponent and one of those games is going to be against an ACC opponent and you get to do whatever you want with the remaining two games, so you're looking and playing, okay, we play eight Big Ten games and two other quote-unquote Power 5 games. That's 10 Power 5 games. What do we want to do with those two remaining games? You want them at home so that you get the ticket money, you get the revenue, souvenirs, concession stands, parking, all of that. And you want those two games to probably be a little bit more winnable than what a Power 5 non-conference game may be. So you're looking at a group of five team. You're looking at somebody like a North Texas or a Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana Lafayette. You're looking at UNI, Illinois State, Eastern Illinois, Tennessee Tech, those types of teams. There's no room for a Pac-12, an ACC, and Iowa State in that scenario. And why? Why is that? Because Iowa is not going to want to put itself at a competitive disadvantage by playing three of its four non-conference games against Power 5 opponents when it's very likely Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Northwestern, the rest of the Big Ten West, they're not going to load their non-conference schedules with Power 5 teams. They're going to be looking for MAC and Sun Belt and other options as well. Now, the contract is written. The contract is signed between Iowa and Iowa State, and it's good for many years out at this point. It's almost renewed in perpetuity by Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard. But contracts usually have language that says if things change and with merit, with cause, then the contract, you are able to break the contract. I said this in hour number one. Think about the Big Four Classic. Iowa decided that it wasn't necessarily in its best interest to continue playing UNI and Drake in a home-and-home in men's basketball on a yearly basis. So what it decided to do was, with Iowa State's help, because Iowa State had to be a willing accomplice, they're going to create this event in Des Moines involving all four schools, and Iowa and Iowa State would rotate. One would play UNI, one would play Drake every year. The reason that that event is dead is because the Big Ten added two more conference basketball games. And there was language in the contract between the four in-state schools that said, in the event of a schedule change, it's going to allow for an opt-out. And without Iowa, that event couldn't continue on. So it died. And yeah, there's going to be lawyers, there's going to be money. But if this is the future that we're looking at here, there's a very good chance that the Iowa-Iowa State football series, and the other sports are ancillary. Football is king. There's a very good chance that the football series is in peril if this comes to fruition. 319-366-1600. This deal's not going to blow up because the Big Ten goes to Kevin Warren and says, or because Iowa goes to Kevin Warren and says, we need to play Iowa State every year. And it doesn't work that way. The conferences are going to tell the member institutions, here are your marching orders. Whatever mess you have on the books here, go clean it up.
Yeah. So think about the way that college football is scheduled. Think about how many non-conference games are scheduled for the next decade. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of games that have been scheduled for 2030, 2032, just a long way out. So if this does come to fruition, the first thing that you would think that the conferences would tell their member institutions is, okay, go through all of these non-conference games, and if you can get out of these contracts, get out of these contracts. Let's see how many we can get out of, and then if there's language and some that we can't, because if you remember, we dealt with this last year with the pandemic. There were still some contracts that had to be honored. I think of Tennessee Tech had a contract with TCU that they couldn't get out of, but a lot of the other conferences and schools were able to get out of the contracts due to something unforeseen, a pandemic, and they were able to void the contract. So that's what we're going to see now if these three conferences follow through with this.
319-366-1600. You can pick up the phone and you can give Ben a call. You can also reach out to us on the text line as well. A couple questions here. I am using UNI, Eastern Illinois, Tennessee Tech as an example of teams that you would likely see on an Iowa schedule moving forward. A lot of people on the text line asking questions. Didn't the Big Ten phase those games out? Well, if you remember, they have popped back onto the schedule in years with the nine conference games. There would be years where a team like Iowa would have to play five Big Ten road games. And so in years where you were playing five conference road games, the Big Ten allowed you to schedule an FCS team to play at home to make up for the fifth road game. So now that would change again if you went back to eight conference games and four non-conference. I don't think the Big Ten is going to have a huge issue with scheduling FCS teams. Now, another question on the text line, and I've got to make sure that I've got the right one here, 9048. Why not load the non-conference with good teams like Notre Dame does? Because nobody's going to do that. Because if you already have two good games out of four non-conference games guaranteed year in and year out, if you know you're playing a Pac-12 opponent and you know you're playing an ACC opponent, you don't have to worry about loading up the non-conference schedule. And if you did, the other schools in the Big Ten would laugh at you. I don't expect, if this takes place, for Wisconsin to continue approaching the LSUs of the world and say, hey, come play us at Lambeau Field. We'll squeeze this game in around playing UCLA and Clemson. It's not going to work that way. Wisconsin's going to do the same thing Iowa wants to do that Northwestern wants to do. Okay, you're telling us that year in and year out, we're going to play one Pac-12 team and one ACC team. Okay, I'm on the phone with Buffalo or Kent State or Ball State, and once they answer the call, I'm on the phone with somebody at UNI or South Dakota State. And that's just the way that it is. You can get mad about it, you can get angry about it, but that would make the most sense. You don't want to put yourself at a competitive disadvantage. If nobody else in your conference is doing it, why would you do it? Willingly, at least. Just for the good old American way. Well, we've always done it here in the state of, we've always played Iowa State. Well, no, we haven't. There was, I believe, a 43-year gap between the 1930s and 1977, I believe, is when the series resumed. So
yeah, Todd, that's a great point, because I hear that discussion happening, like, oh, so money is going to get in the way of these rivalries. That's not a new college football phenomenon.
No, not at
all. That's been happening for a very long time.
There are Iowa State fans that are mad on the tech. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I don't see any of these pie in the sky scenarios taking place where a white knight comes riding to the rescue. If it was going to be the Pac-12, it would have happened. It would have happened 2 weeks ago when Bob Bowlesby approached the Pac-12. Bob Bowlesby approached the Pac-12 and said, would you be interested in discussing basically an alliance like we saw today? And George Klyavkov said, you know, I'm kind of new and I'm getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of people want to talk to me. Get back to you. They weren't interested. The Big Ten is not interested in basically bringing eight teams that it doesn't want into the fold. I'm not saying that the Big Ten wouldn't look and say, okay, one of these schools or two of these schools maybe brings value. If it's a package deal, if they've all got to come, you go to adopt a puppy. Oh, this puppy is cute. Look at this puppy. He's going to love it. Kids are going to love him. And the owner says, well, it's part of a litter of eight. And if you want to adopt that puppy, you have to adopt the other seven in the litter. How many families are going to say, it sounds like a great idea. Doesn't make any sense to us financially. We can barely afford one dog. Now we're going to bring seven more home. Kids will have fun at least, right? Till they don't want to walk the dog or feed the dog. Okay, I'm taking that analogy a little bit too far, but you get what I'm saying. Okay? There may be attractive remaining members in the Big 12, but if it comes down to all or none, the Pac-12, the Big 10, and the ACC are going to choose none. And that leaves Bob Bowlesby and what's left of the Big 12 to fend for itself. Because you have the SEC, which is now essentially its own entity. The SEC is hoping that the NCAA, which is having a constitutional convention in November, to try to maintain its hold on power in college athletics. The SEC is hoping that the NCAA goes away, that it can't survive this new landscape. Because the SEC, they'll be their own entity. They'll be their own country, basically. And then you have three other conferences that band together. Where does that leave the Big 12? The only path forward that makes sense for the Big 12 is to make the best out of a bad situation. The old life hands you lemons. You try to make lemonade, even if you don't have sugar in the cupboard. It's going to be a really bitter lemonade, but just add a little extra water. Try to tone it down. Houston, UCF, Memphis, Cincinnati, BYU, Boise State, some combination of two or four of those teams. Get yourself to 10, get yourself to 12. Yeah, you probably have the wobbliest chair at the table of the Power Five, but the chair has four legs, and you're still sitting at the adult table at Thanksgiving and not at the kiddie table. 319-366-1600.
The Big 12 still, to me, I'm trying to figure out whether or not those schools will, if there's going to be a power struggle between the AAC and the Big 12, if those schools would up and go to the Big 12 at this point because of what is left. And I guess if you're Bob Bowlesby right now, you're looking and you're saying you got to make the best of a bad situation. The bad situation is that football is king. That's not going to be the top football conference in America. But if you can make it good enough and you add basketball brands, like you said, Todd, Houston and Memphis and Cincinnati and even UCF, a solid basketball program, you have a well-balanced league and you have a league that can at least compete in something. And you will have teams regularly make the Final Four from that conference. Football will get you by, and you hope that some of these programs can lift their brand, but those programs have to leave their current conference and join the Big 12. And I'm just wondering at this point if some sort of merger into a 16 team conference is off the table. I don't think anything is off the table right now.
I don't either.
For Bob Bowlesby in the Big 12, because as you said, they have got to make the best of the worst case scenario that they had in their mind, or not even a worst case scenario, just a doomsday scenario that they may not even have thought was a possibility 3 months ago.
319-366-1600. I just looked at the clock and saw what time it is. We've got the Twins tickets that we need to give away. We've got the trivia question for you to win these tickets. We will have that for you on the other side of our next break. But first, let's bring Alex in for a big board update brought to you by our good friends at Alexander Lumber. Happy to have them on board with us here as a sponsor at KGYM. Check them out in Iowa City or online at alexlbr.com. When you visit them in Iowa City, tell them you heard about them right here on KGYM.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, and Pac-12 Commissioner George Klyavkov held a press conference today to announce the forming of their three-conference alliance. According to the three men, there is no formal agreement in place, or rather one built on trust. Details about the alliance are incredibly vague at this point, but the press release states that it will include a scheduling component for football, as well as men's and women's basketball, and it will begin, quote, as soon as practical while honoring current contractual obligations. In men's and women's basketball, the three conferences will add early and mid-season games, as well as annual events that feature premier matchups between the three leagues. News today out of the American Rivers Conference, Chuck Yorgren, the commissioner, announced that he is retiring, he is moving on. Yorgren held the job since 2008. According to a press release, the American Rivers Conference will name Dan Hammes as their interim commissioner. He had been the deputy commissioner, and they will evaluate what to do with that position moving forward. The Cedar Rapids Colonels begin a six-game set in Beloit, Wisconsin tonight against the Beloit Snappers. Louis Varland will get the start in game one. 6:35 is the scheduled first pitch.
All right. If you are a fan of the Colonels big league affiliate, the Minnesota Twins, or if you happen to be a fan of the Chicago Cubs, we have a four-pack of tickets for next Wednesday's game at Target Field in the Twin Cities, as the Cubs take on the Minnesota Twins. I saw the tickets earlier today. They're good seats. They're in section 121, row 11. So these are great seats for two teams that aren't necessarily that great right now, but it's good base. It's Major League Baseball. It's the Cubs. It's the Twins. But you got to win these tickets. Got a trivia question for you here. It's going to reward somebody who has been paying attention to the hints that I gave earlier today, boning up on Cubs and Twins trivia, players that appeared with both teams. Ben is ready to award these tickets to the first caller with the correct answer to the following question. Of his 143 major league wins between 1989 and 2001, 126 of those victories were registered as either a Minnesota Twin or a Chicago Cub. It's a right-handed pitcher whose major league career spanned from 1989 to 2001, and he won 126 of his 143 games with either the Twins or the Cubs. If you can be the first person to tell Ben who that player is, you're going to see the Twins and Cubs next Wednesday at Target Field in Minneapolis. We'll find out who our winner is after this.
We've all had that dream. Tie game. Bottom of the ninth. Bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25-plus wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game, max $25. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, and always on promotions. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code KUHN to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
It's hard to watch what we saw last night and not think that Jameis Winston is surefire, sure bet going to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Doesn't it make the most sense too at this point? What are we seeing so far in the preseason? And sure, it's just preseason. I said yesterday the limited amount of games create so much difference in the amount of urgency with what we are getting. But you got to look at some point at what we've seen from Jameis and say, what are we looking for if he hasn't won the gig? To me, this is simple. Jameis Winston's going to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, and Taysom Hill is still going to get his shots. He's still going to have his opportunities. He's still going to come in and make plays. I think we've overcomplicated and made this either or, when in fact the real answer to what the quarterback situation is going to look like is both. We're going to trust the coaching staff to know which guy to use, when, and how to maximize it. In 60 seconds, one conversation that's not going anywhere this season in the NFL.
We all know that the Iowa-Iowa State game is coming up Saturday, September 11th. So Siebke Hoyt Jewelers is going to make it real interesting. It all starts with our huge kickoff sale Saturday and Sunday, August 28th and 29th, and play cornhole for savings up to 20% off that weekend. Then, if the kick returner of either team takes the kickoff all the way, either at the beginning of the game or the beginning of the second half, your purchase of incredible Siebke Hoyt Jewelry from that weekend is absolutely free. Yep, if he takes it all the way, you don't pay. It's 2 days only, and of course, in Siebke Hoyt style, there'll be great savings. Food from Hatchet's Barbecue and other great prizes like game tickets. It's the 10th annual kickoff sale, Saturday and Sunday, August 28th and 29th at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged. And if he takes it all the way, you don't pay.
As the Cowboys have put three players on the COVID list, you have to look at it and say, okay, remember everybody, this is part of new life as an NFL fan, at least for this season. While we'd like to think the vaccinations and vaccination rates are going to suddenly make this less of a conversation, it's still going to be part of the reality teams have to deal with. CeeDee Lamb, if a game were going on right now, would be on the list for a game that counts this weekend. Now, I realize it's just preseason and maybe it's not that big a deal, but the lesson here isn't what happens to CeeDee Lamb on Saturday. The lesson here is what can we take for the regular season and what does it mean for everybody moving forward? Maybe players will be more stringent. Maybe these things won't happen when the games are actually counting. Or maybe, just maybe, what we need to accept is that the reason expanded rosters are going to exist with practice squads is because the NFL realizes at the end of the day there will still be groups of players that find themselves unable to play because of COVID-19 protocols. That is part of the new reality that comes with being a sports fan. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Jason Fitz.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Would you rather pay for software just once or every month forever? Then make sure your business is ready for the next Microsoft licensing change, or you could be switched to a monthly charge and there'll be no going back. Network Computer Solutions can get you upgraded on time so you can beat those monthly fees. But contact them right away to get on their schedule. Go to ncsei.com. Friendly local Network Computer Solutions.
Emil's Hideaway is open. Stop in for a drink with your buddies for dine-in or carry-out food and drinks. Open daily at 4. Delivery is available at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
5:49, welcome back in as the rain comes down on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Congratulations, John in Cedar Rapids. Kevin Tappany, the correct answer tonight, taking home the Twins-Cubs tickets next Wednesday at Target Field. You remember Kevin Tappany, right, Alex?
Yeah, isn't he playing at the Extreme Arena? Oh, no, that's Mitchell Timpany. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, it's a good tie in there. Kevin Tappany started his career as a New York Met, spent a little bit of time as a Dodger and a White Sox, but primarily was a Twin and a Cub. Now, that's a little bit of a hint about our upcoming Twins Tuesdays, because we have two more four packs of tickets to see the Twins before the season is over. And so if today's trivia question had to do with players who were members of the Cubs and Twins, our remaining tickets are for games featuring the Twins and the Indians and the Twins and the Tigers. So keep that in mind for future reference. 319-366-1600. I don't know what to do with all of this rain here now. Back-to-back days. We did have some severe thunderstorm warnings in the area. Those have expired, I believe it was Benton and a couple counties in our northern listening area, but a little rain never hurt anybody. Nobody's going to have to worry about melting tonight, at least not myself. It was Benton and Iowa counties, but that thunderstorm warning has expired at the moment. 319-366-1600. If we were going to discuss anything today other than the Alliance, we're pretty much out of time to do so, Alex. We got about 7 minutes left here tonight.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, it's dominated the landscape, and there are way more questions than there are answers at this point. And I think that's what fans most likely are frustrated by, because there seems to be some resolution here, but it's really hazy, and there's nothing set in stone. These three conferences didn't even sign a contract. There are no signatures on paper anywhere. Basically, it's a gentleman's agreement that we all are in alignment on major issues. We're not going to raid your conference if you're not going to raid our conference. We want stability. We want stability in college football. We want stability in the Big 12. They said today that the Big 12 matters, that the Big 12 is important. Well, it's apparently not important enough for any of these three conferences to want to do business with the Big 12. Now, they said they'll still schedule games, that they're going to, I'd be very, very leery if I were a fan of a Big 12 team over today's news. That's what I will say.
Yeah, you're no more comfortable about the future of your program if you're one of those eight remaining Big 12 schools today than you have been the last month or so. It still is bleak, and Bob Bowlsby, your move. What are you doing now? Because yeah, it was disjointed. There were still way more questions than answers at this point about what this alliance is going to look like. But we have a good idea that there's going to be an alliance, because these three commissioners said there's going to be an alliance. So the Big 12, what are you doing? What is next for eight programs that had autonomy in football? Some the programs who have a lot of tradition in basketball as well. What happens? with those eight teams and what happens with college football as a whole. Because yes, it seems like everybody else kind of ganging up, or not ganging up, but trying to figure out what to do, because they believe that the SEC is trying to become their own little minor league entity.
Which is, I think, the case. Matt Perrault was discussing this earlier today. What's to stop the SEC from working with partners to create essentially a compensation package for any athlete that wants to come to the SEC? And you want to limit this to football, that's fine, but it's going to creep its way into other sports as well. I mean, a package similar to what we saw. BYU has 23 walk-ons who are essentially getting their schooling paid for because they are working and representing a protein bar company. Well, that's a game changer. And if the SEC can look at this and say, you know what? We want an outsized say in our TV contract. We want an outsized say in how college sports, and in particular college football, is run. This is what you're going to get. This is the response to that. The scheduling issues took up a great deal of the program today, but the first and foremost thing that this alliance is going to focus on is stopping the SEC from running roughshod over college football playoff expansion. That these three conferences want to make sure that the college football playoff, if it does expand, if it does grow, that it's not just ESPN's entity, that Fox or any other TV partner has an opportunity to be brought into this as well. And they also want to make sure that they have a say on how that expansion is handled. They don't want the SEC basically shutting other conferences out, keeping them from having an opportunity here in the expanded college football playoff. So all of the scheduling issues, the Iowa plays a Pac-12 ACC team every year and it could affect Iowa State. It's important to us in the here and now, but right now for the Alliance, that stuff is ancillary. It is on the back burner, and that's going to be frustrating for a lot of people, because the pressing answer, many of them here in the state of Iowa want answered, what's the future of the Seahawks series look like? We're probably not going to know for quite some time, because they're not going to address the scheduling alliance portion of this immediately. Their immediate concern is, how do we push back effectively against the SEC in this power struggle with the NCAA, which is having a constitutional convention in November? The NCAA sort of hanging in the balance here. Does it exist? Does it continue to exist? Does it evolve? Does a new entity form out of the shell of the NCAA to look over and run college athletics? We really don't know what the future is going to hold. And that's a question that the SEC can't even answer at this point. But they were proactive. They made moves proactively, thinking that they would address this before anybody else did. And now the rest of the world is playing catch up. Alex, we got about 30, 40 seconds left. I think we did a good job of encapsulating people's angst over this. There are way more questions than answers. What's coming up on the program tomorrow?
Well, Todd, we have a packed show tomorrow. Matt Snyder of CBS Sports will talk Major League Baseball with us. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette is going to join us to give us a training camp check-in with the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so that means WagerWise, brought to you by the Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
All right, fantastic. If you missed anything, podcast at least to the second hour is available online at kgymradio.com. Local programming returns tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. It's the final Caddy Smack edition of the Gym Class this season.